History of the Maya, Clans and Power, Maya Social Groups. Each Maya belonged to two blood groups, the matrilineal group descended from the mother, and the patrilineal group descended from the father. Each individual had both a name given by the inherited from the mother and another from the father. The property could be only inherited from the father. Like the king's crown, belongings only passed down the patrilineal line. Members of a patrilineal group were expected to help one another in times of need. For example, they would buy out a relative who had been thrown into slavery because of the debt or crime. The patrilineal group also held lands in common. According to Bishop Delanda, each family, among the most common people, was allocated 37 square meters, or 400 square feet, of land to farm. This unit of land was known as Hun Unik. Scholars believe that the matrilineal and patrilineal groups were also used to control marriage between relatives. For example, a man might marry his mother's brother's daughter or his father's sister's daughter, but he would be barred from making other particular marriages. Alongside and cutting across these blood groups was a strong class division. It was extremely prestigious to be able to trace your lineage to both your mother and father's side back across many generations to a noble family. Indeed, the word for noble, Almehan, translates as a man whose bloodline can be read on both sides. Among members of the nobility were wealthy farmers who owned their own land, prosperous merchants, priests, leading warriors, and priests. All those who held office within the political hierarchy, including counselors, judges, and governors, were members of the nobility. The most important positions were filled by close members of the ruler's own blood group. The chiefs were carried in a litter decorated with plumes and borne on the shoulder of strong men. Scribes also occupied an elevated social position. They were leading members of the king's retinue. Most cities probably had a school for scribes where royal and noble children, such as the younger sons and daughters of the king or his children by secondary wives and concubines, would learn the complex skills of reading and writing Mayan hieroglyphs. Literacy was probably not widespread among the general population. Scholars estimate that perhaps 1 in 4 of the Maya could read, and probably far fewer could write. Archaeologists have found attempts at writing by non-elite scribes in minor settlements or on the bricks that were fired at Comulco. But these are not comprehensible because those responsible had clearly not mastered the difficult technique required. All they could manage was a crude imitation of the fine calligraphy found on carvings and ceramics produced by the elite scribes. Beneath the nobility were the free workers, who were allotted the Hun Unik on which to grow their maize. They were liable to pay taxes in the form of crops to a tax collector. Priests who played such a vital role in reading the stars and patterns of history to determine the correct planting times were supported with crops from the field. The farmers probably saw the food sent to the temple as a gift to the gods, eaten by the priesthood on their behalf. Some of the men worked the lands on the behalf of the wealthy. There are also a large class of slaves. Many of these men were women and children. Many were men and women captured in war. For in general, only the more noble among the captives was sacrificed, while the poorer prisoners were put into slavery. Others were individuals from Mayan homelands who had been brought to slavery by wrongdoing or by poverty. Slaves were also traded across a vast network of routes that crisscrossed the Maya lands. For most, there was no way out of the condition, and their children would also be slaves, although it was possible to buy individuals out of slavery. Female slaves worked drawing water from wells, dyeing clothing, and grinding maize. Male slaves were put to work as laborers, fishermen, and carriers of cargo for merchants. The males were given an ill-kept appearance with ragged clothing and roughly cut short hair. Mayan architecture and city planning reflected and reinforced these class divisions. In general, the king and his retinue and the nobility lived close to the center of the city. The Maya city was usually centered on a temple complex and its fine plazas. Around this were grouped the palaces and homes of the elite nobles, with the merchants and other professionals living in smaller dwellings beyond them and humble homes of the working class people still out in a further distance. So that is a look at the society of the Maya. The sources for this are The Maya by Cole, The Civilization of the Maya by Anaquin, The Popo Vuh, In Search of the Maya by Brunhaus, Outline Dictionary of Mayan Glyphs by Gates, Incidents in the Travels of the Yucatan by Stevenson, New World Archaeology by Scientific American, Aztec and Maya by Phillips, Yucatan before and after the conquest by Delanda, Rise and Fall of the Maya by Mayan Civilization by Thompson, and Maya History and Religion by Thompson. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.